It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
In type 1 diabetes, the beta cells of the pancreas are damaged or destroyed, and the pancreas, which makes insulin, is not able to do that, and it requires several injections of insulin each day. A person has to live as a type A personality. It's a pretty serious disease. My guest is Charisse Pohlman. She's a registered nurse. So, Charisse, tell the listeners a little bit about the islets in the pancreas and how they are producing the cell, you know, the hormone insulin, and now they're doing islet transplants, and I believe you are at the University of Chicago doing these?
Actually, we're at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
Oh, that's where I went to college, so that's where I went to graduate school. So now tell us what you're doing there in the islet cell transplants. Let the listener know what this is.
So the islets, as you mentioned, are cells within your pancreas that make a hormone called insulin. Insulin is necessary for your body to take the sugar, glucose, into the cell. It's that glucose that's then transferred, making energy so your body can do work. Work like think or exercise or drive your car into work, for instance, today. So what Dr. Jose Oberholzer and our team has been doing here since 2006 is being involved in the Clinical Islet Transplant Consortium. The purpose of this consortium is to take those islet cells that are lacking the production of insulin for those that have type 1 diabetes and implant them into the liver where they kind of take root and then start producing insulin for these patients. Now, normal therapy would be a complete pancreas transplant. By the complete pancreas transplant, it's a much more involved surgery. The downtime is a lot longer versus the islet cell.
Now, just so the listeners understand, in type 2 that you hear so much about, these beta cells are, your body doesn't allow blood sugar, blood glucose to get into the cells. It becomes insensitive. But in the much more severe type 1 diabetes, which can come on in as a juvenile into the rest of your life pretty much, this is something where these are really damaged or destroyed. And as Charisse said, you could use the entire pancreas transplant or these islet cells transplantation. So now, Charisse, once implanted, these beta cells, they begin to make and release the insulin. So are these going to be able to help reduce their complete need for insulin, achieve that better glucose stability, and maybe not hypoglycemic reactions, that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. What we've found in a fair number of our patients that have participated here at our study site is that for some of them, their insulin requirement is less than half prior to the islet transplant, and others, they're completely off insulin and have been living insulin-free with our longest-living insulin patient up to 6 years.
That's amazing. I'm so thrilled. Now tell us a little bit about the procedure because, you know, people hear about bone marrow transplants and stem cells and things. Tell us a little bit about what's involved in the islet cell transplant.
Sure. Once a donor is received, our laboratory team works to isolate those islet cells from the pancreas. As those cells are getting isolated, the patient is admitted here up to our intensive care unit. From there, they're given a dose of antibiotics as well as immunosuppressants. Because they're coming, these islet cells are coming from a person that's not their cells, they have to have immunosuppressants so that they don't fight off the cells once the cells are in their body.
Well, Charisse, wait, I'm going to get back to this and let you finish. But is the donor a live donor or no?
No, the donor is a deceased donor, an organ donor.
Okay. So go on. Then they're donating the pancreas?
Yes, they donate the pancreas as part of their gift of life donation. The pancreas is then taken into the lab and the cells are extracted.
Okay. So then go on with the procedure.
Sure. After the cells are extracted and as the patient arrives into our radiology department, there is an intravenous catheter put into the liver, into the portal vein of the liver. Within the portal vein, it's then infused directly from a bag into the liver and from this bag. The procedure takes anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 hours, depending on how long it takes them, the radiologist, to get access. Here are excellent surgeons, which include Dr. Benedetti, Dr. Jose Oberholzer, who leads our team, and also Dr. Raquel Garcia, are function in the capacity to make sure that the cells in the bag are not broken and they keep that bag stable. After the cells are infused, the portal vein is then closed off with a plug, a special type of a plug to avoid a bleed, and then the patient is taken back up to ICU intensive care. The patient, as long as there's no complications, usually is discharged to home within 24 hours after the procedure is done.
That's amazing. Now, are there risks involved in this procedure? I mean, obviously, you mentioned the immunosuppressive medications and maybe possible rejection. So what then would happen? Would the person just go back to being insulin dependent as they always were? Can it make the situation any worse?
Usually we have not found it to necessarily make the situation worse. And in fact, let's say for some reason if your first islet transplant does not take, we have transplanted additional times, up to 3 transplants currently in our protocol. It's not abnormal for that to be necessary, especially for the second or perhaps the third transplant. Now, even though these patients may not have fully functioning islet cells in their liver, again, those that we may transplant again still have less than half of the insulin requirement prior to their first islet transplant.
And how long does somebody know before they, you know, get the benefits? And how long do they stay on these immunosuppressive medications? You know, how long until they go, wow, this really worked for me?
So usually the patient and we in the lab while running blood tests will usually see a benefit as early as 6 months after transplant. But as far as the patient living on the immunosuppressants, because these are foreign cells to their body, just like any other type of transplantation, the patients will remain on immunosuppressant therapy indefinitely.
Wow, so that just kind of goes along with it. Is there a certain match that must be made to get the transplant as far as the organ donor is concerned?
Oh, absolutely. And for that, we work with our local donation network to make sure that there won't be a mismatch with the donor and the patient, obviously before the transplant. That happens way before the patient is admitted into the hospital.
So now, what are your outcomes these days? This is relatively new. You're still basically in clinical trial, correct?
Correct. So currently, we've done a total of 55 transplants here at our center alone with benefit to 31 patients. Now, that number continues to change as we continue to recruit and screen patients and those that are interested, especially with working with the Chicago Diabetes Project and getting the word out there about islet transplantation and just type 1 diabetes in general.
And so give us your best advice, Charisse, for type 1 diabetes. If somebody has this, they've lived with it, I mean, you know, maybe a loved one needs some advice.
I think the best advice is always to seek medical care and attention. Just like with everyone else, however, diet is so key. Diet and exercise, no matter pre or post transplant, that is the key to their future, along with making sure they attend their regular healthcare provider appointments.
Well, thank you so much. And certainly exercise for a type 1 diabetic, part of my own graduate studies. You have to be a pretty type A personality. You have to make sure to do it at the same time every day. Keep those blood sugar levels in check. Check them often. And as she said, diet is so important. So remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.